So today's daf is daf Pei Dalid. We'll start on the bottom of Pei Gimel on the Beis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Again, the Mishnah deals with a husband who promised his wife, Dinu Dvarim Eimli Bin Chasayich, I don't have a claim or a complaint about your possessions. So the Mishnah said that that means that she can sell the Nechsem Elog and he can't stop the sale. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't get payros. It doesn't mean that he doesn't inherit her. However, if he said, Deinu Dvarim Einli B'Nechasayich, I don't have a claim or a complaint in your possessions and in their fruits and in the fruits of their fruits from now and forever, whether you're alive or after you die, then he's surrendering his claim to the fruits, and he's surrendering his claim to inherit the possessions. Shimon Gamliel said he can't surrender his claim to inherit the possessions, because that would be a masna al-mashakas of Torah. That would be making a condition against what the Torah says. The Torah says, v'yarash osa, which we interpret in Meseches Bava Basra, that he will inherit her. So it's nigh, can't waive a Torah gift. Amar Rav said, halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel v'lo mitameh. Halacha's like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even though the husband wrote, I don't have a claim on your possessions or the fruit of your possessions and the fruit of your possessions from now and forever in your lifetime and after your death, but after she dies, he would inherit. But not for the reasons of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What did Rav mean that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning? Is it that Rav is saying that if she dies, he inherits her? But not based on the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The other Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the reason why he inherits her is because there's a Torah law that he's to inherit her. He made a tnai against the Torah law, so since it's a condition against the Torah law, the condition is suspended. Rav Savar Tzno Kayim. Whereas Rav holds that even if you make a condition against the Torah law, the condition lasts. However, here, Rav holds that the husband inheriting the wife is not Torah law. Kasavar, he holds Yerushas HaBaal D'Rabbanan. It's only a rabbinic law. So, why don't you say Kal V'chomer? If Rav holds that a condition can overrule Torah law, certainly a condition should be able to overrule a rabbinic law. No. Chachamim Asu Chizik L'Divrayim Yosem Yishel Torah. We've seen this idea before. Sometimes when we have a Din D'Rabbanan, we say that it's actually stricter than a biblical law because people say, oh, it's only a rabbinic law, I don't need to keep it so much. So therefore, the rabbis strengthened their law even more than the Torah law. And the rabbi said that even though normally when both agree and there's a condition, we could waive a monetary law, even though it's biblical, if it's rabbinic, we can't. The rabbi said the husband should inherit the wife. Even though the husband had said he won't, he still does because us Rabbanu Chizuk Midivrayim Yoser Michel Torah.
But I did not spell down in the Torah that he inherits the wife.
It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in Baba Basra. Some say V'yarash Osa means that he inherits the wife, and some say no, that's not what it's referring to. Asks the Gemara, V'savar Rav Tno Kaim. So you're saying what the reason why Rav said V'lo Mitameh, not the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says explicitly that the reason why the husband inherits is because the condition didn't take effect. But is that true that Rav believes that a condition can take effect against Torah law? But what about the laws of Onah? We know that if a person buys an object, and he either overpaid or underpaid. So if he overpaid or underpaid by a sixth, so then that extra amount has to be returned. And if it's more than a sixth, then the sale's not a sale. If it's less than a sixth, then the sale stands. We learned, let's say, you know, Yaakov comes to buy a car from me. I say, listen to the price I want from the car. And I don't know, I don't care if you're going to then go to, you know, various websites, Edmunds.com, to figure out what the normal price for such a car is.
Even if it turns out after your research that I, you know, doubled the price, tripled the price, way beyond Onah, you're waiving your claim of Onah. I'm saying here's a sale, but on condition that you waive your rights to claim Onah, to claim that there was an overcharging. So if a person does that, Rav Amar Yeshlo Alav Onah, the buyer can still go do research, come back and say, you overcharged, and now there are the laws of Onah. If it was way in excess, then the deal is reversed. If it's partially, you know, if it's a sixth more, then the money has to be returned. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says if that was what the agreement was, that there's no claim of Onah, then ain't lo olav Onah. So you see that Rav holds, yesh lo olav Onah, that Rav holds you can't make a t'nai to waive a Torah right. So why would Rav say he doesn't agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel here, but he really does agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel here? If we're saying he doesn't agree with Reb Shimon Gamliel's reasoning that you can't make a t'nai to waive a Torah law, we see from Onah that Rav is also somebody who says you can't make a t'nai to waive a Torah law. Ella. What?
He doesn't learn it from the pasuk.
He doesn't learn what from the pasuk?
That he inherits the way.
Oh, we'll see. So Ella, so rather, Halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel to Amar. Halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel who said, Hamasna mashakosa batorah, it's no bata. If a person makes a t'nai to waive a Torah right, the t'nai is annulled. If a person makes a condition against the Torah rule, it doesn't work. But v'lav mitameh, but over here he's not really agreeing with Rabbi Shimon. Dilu Reb Shimon Gamliel savar, mesa yershena. Here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that if a woman dies, it's a Torah law that her husband inherits her. And Rav Sava, Rav holds, Mesa, lo yershena. Rav doesn't, you know, as Fred suggested, Rav holds that if a wife dies, the husband is not entitled to inherit her. So then, one second, Haimita Ame. So then, you shouldn't be saying that Rav says halachas like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but the reasoning is different. No, Rav agrees with the reasoning of Reb Shimon Gamliel, but he doesn't agree with the halacha. That the halacha of Reb Shimon Gamliel is that the husband doesn't inherit the wife. Rav doesn't agree that the husband inherits the wife, because Rav doesn't even hold that it's a din d'oraisa for the husband to inherit the wife without a t'nai. Certainly when there's a t'nai that there should be no inheritance, there's no din d'oraisa that he should inherit. Ella, so what was Rav saying when Rav says he agrees with Reb Shimon Gamliel's bottom line, but he doesn't agree with how he got there? El halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel must be, when Rav says halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that means that he agrees with the bottom line. Then in Mesa, if the wife dies, Yershena, the husband does inherit the Nichsim Alog, even though he had written and promised that he has no claims on her property after her life. But v'lav mitame, but the reasoning why he inherits is not Reb Shimon Gamliel's reasoning. The Reb Shimon Gamliel savar b'doraisa t'no bata. Reb Shimon Gamliel says the reason why he inherits is because he had made a condition to waive a Torah right, and since it's a t'nai against the Torah law, the t'nai didn't take effect. But that is to imply haba d'rabbanan. But if it would be a d'rabbanan law, t'na okayim, then the t'nai would work. But Rav doesn't agree with the reasoning of Reb Shimon Gamliel, because Rav savar filu b'drabbanan t'no batel. Rav holds whether it's a Torah law or a rabbinic law, if a person makes a t'nai against that law, the t'nai doesn't take effect. So the Gemara says, but then you couldn't really say that Rav doesn't agree with the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Because then, hi ketame ukilchasehu. Rav agrees with the halacha that even though he wrote, he's waiving his claims, he is still going to inherit. And he agrees with the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel because the t'nai cannot overrule the Torah law. And he goes even further. Rav Mosifu, Rav adds, he says a t'nai can't overrule a Torah right. And he says a t'nai can't overrule a rabbinic right. But you're not seeing that Rav is disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ella, so rather like this, halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, when Rav says halacha like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he means that he agrees with the bottom line to Amar, who said, imesa yershena, even though he said that he's waiving his claims to her property after her death. If she dies, he doesn't inherit her. But v'lav mitame, but it's not based on the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Dilu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, savar yerushas habaal d'oraisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that when a husband inherits his wife, that's a biblical law. And anyone who makes a condition against Torah law, the condition didn't take effect. But Rav Sava, Rav doesn't agree with the reasoning, because Rav holds Yerusha Sabal is derabanan, that a husband can inherit his wife as only a rabbinic law. But he's saying, Chachamim asu chizkul devarim kishel Torah. The Chachamim made their law as strong as a Torah law. So he's saying, I am agreeing with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's bottom line, that in this case, the husband does get his wife's inheritance. He does get it, even though he claims he's not going to get it. He does get it. He is entitled to it. I agree with the bottom line, but not because of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning is because a condition can't waive a Torah law. I don't think this is a Torah law. I don't think this is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning. I think that even though it's a rabbinic law, the husband's condition cannot waive it. Asks the Gemara, V'Rav Savar, does Rav really hold Yerusha Sabal Rabbana, that a husband inheriting his wife is only a rabbinic law? And that's why you're saying it's Lav Mitameh, it's not the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But now, what about the following Mishnah? Rabbi Yochum ben Broka says, Ayoresh es Ishto, if a person inherits property from his wife, then 20 years later, Yovel arrives, the Jubilee years arrive. Normally, property that you buy has to be returned in the Jubilee year to the family you bought it from, whereas property that you inherit certainly doesn't have to be returned. Now, Yazil of Neh Mishpacha, he should return the field to the members of his wife's family. However, they pay him, but they don't pay him the full price. He takes away some of the price that they're supposed to pay. So, Avinabas, we try to understand this very difficult halacha. Mike Saver, what's Yochum ben Broka thinking? He could suffer if Yochum ben Broka thinks Yerusha Sabal d'oraisa, that a husband gets his wife's property as inheritance, biblical inheritance. Amai Yavzir, why is he returning things in Yovel? And inheritors who inherit things don't return things in Yovel. Either Abban, if it's a rabbinic law that he's getting the property as inheritance, so it's not biblical inheritance. So dame my abiditiyu. So then he has to return it, because, you know, even in Yovel he has to return it. So then why is he getting some money for it? And we talk about him subtracting how much money he gets. So Amarav's Rav explained the Olam Kasavri Rishabaldo Reiser. Bielchman broke a hold that her husband doesn't inherit biblically. However, this is a rabbinic law that he should return the property to his wife's family. Why? Let's say what he had inherited from his wife was a cemetery. Now, in a cemetery, usually you have a family plot. And therefore, if he doesn't return it back to his wife's family, it's going to be embarrassing. Here they have all these grandparents and great-grandparents buried in the plot, and suddenly he's buried there too. And they can't bury their relatives in the family plot anymore. So he should return it in Yovel. But since he's not really biblically obligated to return it in Yovel, or since, you know, he should return it in Yovel, but they should give him the money, because the only reason why he has to return it is because of the svar of Pagam Mishpacha. So Amar Rabbanan Lishkol Dami, the rabbis are saying he should get money, Vili Hadar, and return it. So what does it mean, Umayi Nakal Emin Adamin? What money does he, you know, subtract from that which they have to give him to make Hever Ishto, the amount of money he should otherwise have spent to buy a grave for his wife? He's obligated to buy his wife a grave, so that money that he would have had to spend anyway, he subtracts to the times he went in a bright sum. Hamocher Kivro, if a person sells his grave, or Derech Kivro, the road to his grave, or Mahamado, the place where we would stand when going to the funeral, or Malcolm Espedo, the place to stand for the eulogies. The members of the family can come and forcibly bury their relatives in their family plot, because otherwise it makes the family look bad. So the Gemara explains, so here you see that Rav says Yerushas Habal is Doraisa, it is biblical, really. He doesn't have to return it in Yovel. It's only rabbinic law for Pgam Mishpacha that he should return the fields and the cemetery in Yovel. But you just said that Rav's explanation of our mission is that he holds that Yerusha Sabal is Drabana. So the Gemara explains, here Rav is explaining a brice of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So Rav, the time of the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka comma, Rav is just explaining what Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka was thinking. But Vilelo sphere labor, Rav himself doesn't agree with it. Next Mishnah. Misha Meis, the fellow who dies, Viniach Isha, and he left a wife who has a ksuba, Ubal Chov, and people whom he owed money to. the Yorshin, and he has children who inherit him. And he had left a deposit, or he had a loan that people owed him in the hands of others. So Rabbi Tarfon says, the one who has the weakest, the one with the weakest shtar, is the one who gets this pikadon, gets the deposit, or the halva. According to the Tana of this Mishnah, metaltlin do not have a lien on them to pay ksuba of a wife, and certainly to pay a chov, to pay a debt. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Emer Achman Bedin, when we have a court case, we don't, it's not the time for mercy, Eli Nasn Liarshin, but rather it is the children who inherit it, and even if the woman were to grab, or the Baal Chov were to grab, it wouldn't work, we would take it from them and give it back to the orphans. Shakulan Tzrichin Shvua, because if a woman wants to collect her ksuba, she has to swear. If a Baal Chov, a person who has a debt against someone, wants to collect money, he needs to swear. When he's collecting from a person who died, he's collecting from the children. However, those who inherit, they don't need to swear to get the money, so therefore they get it. Similar halacha, whether if it's not, he left over a deposit, but he left over fruit that was detached from the ground. So then, if the Yorshim grabbed them, then they have it, and it's metaltlin that are now in the hands of the orphan, so that is not obligated for the payment of the ksuba or the payment of a loan. But if the wife grabbed these fruits, or the lender grabbed these fruits, then according to your bitar phone, it works, tfisa works, and it's theirs. However, zacht, what happens if what they grabbed was more than the value of the debt owed them? Zacht isha yoser miksubasa, or ubal chov yoser al chovo. Then hamosar, that excess over the amount of the ksuba, over the amount of the debt, Rabbi Tarfon omer yinasul lakol shebehen, should be given to the one with the weakest claim. Rabbi Akiva omer, Rabbi Akiva says again, emir achman bedin, we are not to have compassion in law. El yinasul yorshim, you give it to the yorshim. Shekulan tzrichan shvua, because ksubas isha from the possessions of orphans, or a balcho from the possessions of orphans, needs to swear. However, the orphans don't need to swear to be entitled to the property of their father for them to inherit.
Is that a universal opinion that he has to swear to get the ksuba?
We're going to see that again. Yeah.
But when I'm giving for money, to Gabriel, I know Gabriel has a ketubah, he's nasuim. I should know that he owes already to his wife first, and I'm going to be second. Why we not protecting the Isha?
Because it's metaltalin.
It's
movables, and the Tana of this Mishnah holds that movables don't have a lien on them.
Yeah.
Says the Gemara, Lamalila Misna Milva, Lamalila Misna Pikadon. Why does the Mishnah talk both about a loan and about a deposit? As the Gemara Tzricha needs to tell us both. The Itana Milva would have taught us about a loan. But how come Rabbi Tarfon here? Rabbi Tarfon says that the money goes to the weakest. Because when a person gave a loan, the money fully belonged to the borrower. And therefore, the lender really knows he doesn't have something. He has a debt, but he doesn't really have an object anymore. Avol pikadon, but when a person just makes a deposit and somebody's watching his object, which is still around, the object is still around, maybe then he agrees to Rabbi Akiva. And if I tell you about a pikadon, I'll say, but how come Rabbi Akiva? Here Rabbi Akiva says, it belongs to the Yorshim. Avol b'ach, but when you talk about a halva, maybe you would agree to Rabbi Tarfon that it doesn't belong automatically to the Yorshim. So Tzricha, that's why we needed both cases. My Lakosha, what does Rabbi Tarfon mean when he says we give to the weakest? Rabbi Yosef B'chanina Amar Lakosha Shebir Aya. We give it to the one who has the latest proof, the weakest shtar, the latest date on the shtar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Laksubas Isha. We give it to the ksuba of the wife. Because this will make the wife happy if she knows she doesn't have to work so hard to collect her ksuba. get Tanoi. This is really an argument of the Tanoim. Rabbi Binyamin Omer Lakosha Shabiraya. Rabbi Binyamin says the weakest means the one who has the later shtar. Vuhu kasher, so long, and that's the right thing to do. And Rabbi Lazar Omer Laksubas Ishim Ishum Kina. It goes to the ksuba of the wife in order to make her happy. Then the Mishnah said, "Iniach peros atlushin." Let's say the husband died and he left detached fruits. So then, kolakodem zochabehen. Anyone who grabs them is zochen them. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva. But if they grabbed, you know, more than what the ksuba was worth, so then the excess goes back to the yorshim. So the Gemara asked Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, my area Moser, why only the excess would go back to the Yorshim? Kulunami the Yorshim Havu. According to Rabbi Akiva, he holds that the Yorshim, the children, inherit without a Shvua. So that means once the father died, they inherit it. They inherit the fruit as well. So what do you mean the excess? The wife had no right to grab these fruits. In a Chanami, that's true. According to Rabbi Akiva, the wife didn't have a right to grab the fruits. The whole thing goes back to the Yorshim. But Adi Dami Rabbi Tarfon Mosar, since Rabbi Tarfon said the excess over the ksuba goes back to the Yorshim, goes back to the weakest shtar, Tana Iunami Mosar, he talks about the excess and talks about it going to the Yorshim. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, Tfisa Lo Mahanya Klau, would he hold that the wife could never grab the possessions of her husband as payment for her ksuba? If she grabbed objects of her husband when her husband is still alive as her payment for the ksuba, Rabbi Akiva would agree that that works. But we just said that Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree that she could grab anything from the husband's possessions. That, I mean, talking about movables again. That is after death. Ulu Rabbi Tarfon. Now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you said that our Mishnah is only Rabbi Tarfon, who says she can be tofes in the fruits. Where are these fruits currently placed that she can grab it? And the Yorshim don't automatically inherit it. So Rav and Shmuel, Amri Tarvayu, Rav and Shmuel both explain, they are collected and placed in a public domain. But if they're in an alley where a lot of business happens and it's private, then even Rabbi Tarfon would not agree that the wife could grab it, because as Rashi explains, since that's a place that's worthy for kinyanim, you could do a meshicha in a simta. It's not a place of hefker, and since it's not a place of hefker, the children of the deceased husband right away inherit it. And therefore, if the wife grabs these fruits, it's no different than her walking into their home and grabbing their movables, which we've just said that the Tana of this Mishnah holds that the movables of Yesomim doesn't have a lien on it for the ksuba. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rishlakish just agreed, they said, Afilu besimta. Even if these fruits were in an alleyway next to the street, don't dayane, kribi tarfa. Judges would rule, even in an alleyway. Even in an alleyway, they would hold that the wife could grab these objects, and we don't say that automatically the children inherited them. What's the bottom line halacha in this question? So don't dayane kribi tarfon. There were judges who ruled like kribi tarfon that if there were objects that had been left after the death of the husband, if the wife grabbed them after the death of the husband, so she can hold on to them. However, Ahadri Mishlakish loved me nayu. When Mishlakish heard about this, he told the judges, you have to reverse that, because halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechavero. When Rabbi Akiva argues with somebody else, halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds a merachmin bedin, and rather the orphans inherit, and then you can't take it away from them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, here you're reversing the psak of Dayanim. We have a rule that generally when a judge issues a ruling, we let the ruling stand, unless it was a mistake about something that he really should have known. You know, it's Tabidvar Mishnah. He made a mistake about something that's in a Mishnah. So one second, Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Asita Kishel Torah, are you making this law of Rabbi Akiva so clear that it's like a halacha l'moshe misinai, it's like a pasuk? So, you know, even if you think halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's not so clear that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore you shouldn't be so quick to reverse the ruling of judges. So let's say maybe this is the argument. Maybe they're arguing about this very question. One holds that when a mistake is about an obvious halacha, then you reverse it even after a psak. That's Reish Lakish. Omar Savin Rabbi Yochanan said to him, even though they're making a mistake about an obvious halacha and a mishnah, you don't have to reverse it. So Gemara says, look. Everybody would agree that if it's a mistake about something in a Mishnah, everybody agrees that that gets reversed. And we don't say, okay, the judges said it, we'll leave it that way. We can't leave it. But here, this is the argument. The rule is halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with a peer. But velome rabo. Halacha is not necessarily like Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with his teacher. Rabbi Tarfon was the teacher of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, it's not so simple that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. The other opinion is halacha afilu mei rabo. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with his teacher. And therefore, that's obvious, and therefore we should reverse the ruling of judges who didn't pass like Rabbi Akiva. If by the same alternative, I can tell you to kuliyam halacha Rabbi Akiva mei chaveiro, velo mei rabo. Maybe everybody feels that it's obvious halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he's against his peer, but not that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva against his teacher. But the argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is about the following. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Tarfon was the teacher of Rabbi Akiva. Reish Lakish holds, he was the peer of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore he said, how could you paskin like Rabbi Tarfon against Rabbi Akiva? He's going against the Dvar Mishnah that halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro. By the same alternative, I can tell you, to kuli al mechaveiro ava. Everyone agrees that Rabbi Tarfon was his peer. And here the following is the argument. What is the Mishnah? What is the standard when we say halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Marsav halacha itmar once said halacha is like Rabbi Akiva when he disagrees with somebody. So then the wife was not entitled to grab it. And the judges, even though they ruled that she can hold on to it, they have to reverse their ruling. But the other opinion Rabbi Yochanan held, matin itmar, we prefer Rabbi Akiva against his peer. Okay, it means l'chatchila. We should follow Rabbi Akiva. But here it's already been the evidence where they didn't follow Rabbi Akiva. So you don't have a right to reverse what they did because there never was a Dvar Mishnah that even been the evidence we need to follow Rabbi Akiva against his peer. Itmar was taught in the yeshiva that the following story happened. Kreved Rabbi Yochanan, the relative of Rabbi Yochanan, apparently had a debt against a fellow who called the guy Shmuel. Shmuel dies, and this relative of Rabbi Yochanan had lent Shmuel money, so now he wants to get his money back. So tough was part of the asmi. He grabbed the cow that had belonged to Shmuel, Misimta, that was only standing in the alleyway. So also l'kameh to Rabbi Yochanan. So they came in front of Rabbi Yochanan saying, listen, we're the orphans. We inherit our father's possessions. He had no right to grab it. And the movables are not, don't have a lien on it. Don't have a lien on them for the debts. Amalahu, Sir Yochanan said, sorry. Shapir tafastuhu. Once he grabbed it, he's entitled to hold onto it. They went to Shimon ben Lakish. Amalahu, he said, sorry. We have to follow Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, Zilu ahadu. Go and return the cow. And they went back to Rabbi Yochanan. He was their relative. He said, listen, you know, Reish Lakish is messing us up. He said, sorry. He said, what can I do? Someone equal to me is arguing with me. Reish Lakish is an equal to me, and therefore, I need to accept it. There was this shepherd of Yesomim working for orphans, watching objects that had belonged to their father. And then, the Tafsi Turamine. And somebody who had lent money to the father grabbed an ox from the flock. So Balchov Omer, the lender who had lent money to the father, claimed, I grabbed it during the lifetime of the father. So as we saw at the top of the Amud, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that a wife can grab metaltlin during the lifetime of the husband, and if it was during the lifetime of the person who owes it, they can hold on to those metaltlin, can hold on to the movables even after death. Right, because they grabbed it during his lifetime. However, Bakra Amar, the shepherd said, La'achar misa tafse, the Baal Chob only grabbed it after the death. Now, after the death, according to Rabbi Akiva, automatically the orphans inherit, and then no one's allowed to take it from them. So, also, the Kavadir of Nachman, they went in front of Rav Nachman. Amar Le, so he said to him, Islach Sahadi de tafse. So he said, do you have witnesses that you grabbed it? Amalei laf. He said, no, I don't have any witnesses about when the grabbing occurred. Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman said to the shepherd, this guy could claim that this ox that he has is something that he bought. If he believed about that, he'd also be able to believe to be said, that he grabbed it for his death, but he grabbed it during the lifetime of the father, and therefore he was allowed to grab it. I said, so what type of amigo is this? But didn't Reish Lakish say that Godros, Einlan Chazaka, that animals that move around, there's no such thing as Chazaka, as holding on to them and then a presumption of owning it? Answer the Gemara, Shiny Tura. An ox is different. Demesira Laroa, an ox is handed over to a shepherd, and since it's handed over to a shepherd, therefore, we know that it's not normally walking around, it's normally watched, and therefore, here, Godros, these types of movables, Yesh Lahem Chazaka. Says the Gemara de Bein Nasiya, another story. The people of the house of the Nasi, Tafos Amsa the Asma Mesimta. They once grabbed a maid who had belonged to Yesomim, who was only in an alleyway for a debt that the father had owed them. A maid. Yasav Reb Abba, Reb Chanina Bar Papa, Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. So the three judges, Reb Abba, Reb Chanina Bar Papa, and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha sat to think about it. Yasav Reb Abba got by, Reb Abba sat with them. Amaluhu. So the judges said to the people of the Beis Anasi, Shapir Tfisitiu. Okay, you're fine. You've grabbed it. You can hold on to it. Amaluhu Reb Abba. So Reb Abba said, Yishim de Bein Nasi and Inim Machan Fisule. Just because they're powerful, they're from the Nasi, you flatter them. We know that there were judges who used to rule like Rabbi Tarfon, that if it's grabbed, it can be held onto. But yet, we saw Reish Lakish said, no, it's halachas like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the orphans automatically inherit, and therefore the Baal Echov are not entitled to grab these possessions.